One of my friends says, that is a waste of a good time. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how that's going in a book, but it's happening. That would make such an amazing scene. I'm going to use it somewhere.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me. And I am your host, Angelica. This is a podcast that talks about a little bit of everything. So sit back and enjoy the show. And welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me. Today, my guest is an award-winning USA Today best-selling author. Welcome, DC Gomez, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for your time. And I'm excited to get to know your journey as an author, as a writer. But before we even get into it, please introduce yourself to my listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, sweetie. I'm DC Gomez, everyone. I am a writer. I'm a podcaster, motivational speaker. Above all, I'm a dreamer. I love people and I love sharing anything that can get them motivated to start seeing themselves in a whole new world and a new perspective.
Awesome. And, you know, I'm so curious. Every time I have an author on the show, I'm always like, how did this start? Did it start at such a young age where, you know, like artists, when you hear them like, oh, I had the mic as soon as I came out of the moon, right? So I'm curious to know how you started as a writer.
I have a little bit of a different story than most writers. I know a lot of my friends, I'm like, I've been writing since I was 10. Mm-hmm. I've been doing all these things. I have been a storyteller as long as I can remember. Like my dad is the one that says, you know, you've been telling scary stories since, you know, you were 5. I was like, oh God, that sounds scary. Thanks, Dad. Like nobody needs to tell you that. But in terms of being a writer, I actually have a background in film and television. So when I was growing up, that's what my passion was. I was creating visual stories. I was writing stories, but there were scripts. So it wasn't until I got out of the college, I went to NYU, graduated, and I did that thing that every filmmaker says, you know, we need to learn about people. Mm-hmm. And I went and joined the military. One of the things when it comes to life and the decisions that we make, I actually was in basic training during 9/11. And my life changed. Everything became a very different focus. I was much more concerned with how can I serve? How can I take care of people? My passion was still there. I still wanted to know about people. But it wasn't about 10, 15 years later that I found myself still doing corporate world, still doing all those things you're supposed to do as an adult. And I was miserable. I literally hit rock bottom. I hated everything I was doing. I just did not find myself. So I did this whole entire process. I was just kind of coming home. And I was sitting on the kitchen table on a July with a spiritual director. And she says, just write the book. When somebody tells you write the book, it's probably the most terrifying word somebody can tell you. Because we all say there's a bucket list. Everybody says, I'm going to write a book one day. The last thing you actually think about is like, oh, I'm going to write this book now. So I had 500 reasons why I shouldn't, why I couldn't, all this stuff. She wasn't listening. So when I finally ran out of excuses and stories and reasons why I couldn't, and I started writing, it was coming home. It was finding that place that just makes your soul feel alive. It's just finding that place that you realize, this is exactly what I was missing. You know, I don't have to make a film. I don't have to make a video, but I still have to tell stories. So that's kind of how that journey came full circle, going from writing little short stories and scripts to make a little video to writing a novel and kind of finding my place and just loving it.
Wow, that's interesting. And how you've been through different directions and how this inspired you to write. As an author, I'm pretty sure you've gone through different challenges. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges as an author?
Honestly, for me, it's truly not trying to do everything. And I don't know if that makes sense for a lot of people. When I started writing, I honestly thought I can't do this because I'm not perfect and my grammar is not perfect. English is my second language. What are people going to think? And I wasn't questioning the art of storytelling. I was questioning the mechanics of writing and grammar and being able to express these things. And I think my brother had the best concept. He's like, you know, they have these things called editors. Why don't you just hire one? I was like, oh my God. It was kind of that light bulb to honestly give myself permission to dream. Give myself permission to say, okay, I can still do it. you know, and I'm sure people are going, you should be perfect before you start writing. Well, if we wait for the train of perfection, we're never going to get off the rail. You're going to sit there waiting for something to happen. And you learn as you go. So I gave myself that grace to say, okay, it won't be perfect, but it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to put my heart into it and give it everything I have.
And I really love where you said there, permission to dream, which a lot of us need to get into, is allow ourselves to dream and to conquer those goals or start something new, because it's beautiful when you allow yourself to do that. Everything opens up. And I agree with you with the mechanics of the grammar and everything. You're thinking like, well, I don't think I can do this, right? And I myself, English is a second language too. And growing up, having a learning disability, it makes it a lot more difficult, because then for me, I thought as a kid, like, I can't do this. You're expecting me to read this novel, or expecting me to do a book report or anything. It's impossible, because I had troubles reading. And when it came to writing, it was for me the grammar side of things. And, you know, it just gets frustrating. But again, when you say permission to dream, everybody needs to hear that. You need to give yourself that, because you'll be surprised what you're able to accomplish within yourself. And, you know, it's true what your brother said, there's an editor. And look at you now. Like, it's incredible when you allow yourself and give yourself the permission to dream.
So many times, and you know this yourself, Angelica, is we have listened to so many voices. People mm-hmm. have told us what to do, what we can do, what we cannot mm-hmm. do. And the only voice we never listen is to ourselves. Because yeah. honestly, what is the worst that can happen? And that's kind of think that was the reality. It's like, well, people don't like the book. Well, I don't like every book I read. So what makes that any different? So mm-hmm. when we take away that pressure, when we stop taking ourselves so seriously and say, okay, what's the worst that can possibly happen? Well, the book doesn't sell. Am I still going to die? You know, did I give him at all? And I can tell you, my friends and my families always say, the happiest we ever see you is when you're writing. The happiest you are is when you're walking around the house, work, whatever you are, walking around telling us these stories that everybody looks at you like you're crazy. I write urban fantasy, you know, I'm writing about demons and witches, and I write quirky characters, and I have humor. And it's all mashed into these crazy adventures. And I'm telling people, and they're sitting on the edge of their seat going, how does your mind work? And at the beginning, that was terrifying. Like, I honestly felt like I was being judged, that people were questioning it. And I was like, am I a freak? Am I weird? And I realized, no, my mind just works a little different. And it's the reason I create. It's the reason that I share. Because there's somebody out there that needs to hear these words. There's somebody out there that needs to pick up this book and realize, oh, my day's not that bad. It's going to be okay.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Oh, my gosh. And with your family, like you mentioned how, you know, they said that the happiest they see you is when you're writing. Did your family always encourage you to keep going at the beginning when you first told them, like, I'm going to be starting to write a book? Because I feel like sometimes family support is not there for everybody. And I can't stress it enough how important it is to have that family support, because it allows you to keep yourself motivated to keep going. And, you know, it's really nice when you can tell one of your family members and say, you know what, I'm having troubles with this. Like, I don't know what to do. Right. And then boom, they just give you a little bit of advice and then you take it and then you create something amazing.
So I usually tell all of my mentees, be careful who you share your dreams with, because you're a little precious. Literally, this is your little precious child. It's like giving your confession to somebody. If you give it to the wrong person, they're going to kill it. And it's going to happen faster than you can imagine. So who you're sharing your dreams and your goals and your ambitions with matters. I learned really early, and I learned it by accident. I think when I joined the military, I have always been the person that says, if I'm going to do something, we're going to commit. I just have to commit and then we're going to do it. You know, that might take me the time. But when I joined the military, I literally, it was a blink of an eye. Hey, I'm going to do it, sign up, getting ready to go. And I didn't realize how many people in my family didn't believe. You know, I'm full-blooded Dominican. I'm the first girl in my family to join the military. And one of the biggest, like, love of my life, like, one of my uncles said, oh, you should leave that for your brothers. You're a girl. And it crushed me. So then I realized really early, I was like, you might not be the tribe that I need. You love me, you want to protect me, but you don't believe. So that experience helped me to believe that I'm like, everybody's not going to be in my corner. Everybody's not going to support even the things like joining the military. So when it came to my books and my passion, I was much more careful, to tell you the truth. I didn't tell more than 3 people that I was writing the book till the book was done. And even then, after I wrote the book, it took me a while to get out of my shell. I literally felt like I was, like, you know, a little, you know, thief. I came behind and gave people a postcard and I ran away. I was like, oh my God, I can't talk about it. So it took me a good 6 months to get out of my shell, to actually tell people and to realize this has nothing to do with me. It is still about the book. I want people to connect with the book. Then I have to put the book out there and get out of my own head. But when it came to my family, my parents have always been supportive. Like, I asked my parents, like, you don't question things. He's like, no, because when you say you're going to do it, it's going to get done. The rest of the people in my circle, I'm very careful because I know they love me and they would do anything for me. But if your dreams are so big, they're going to scare you. They should, because they should be that big. But it's going to scare other people around you, and they're going to feel like they need to protect you. They need to keep you safe. And their way of keeping you safe is trying to find all the reasons why this is not going to work, so why you shouldn't try. So I learned very early, I was like, you might not be the person I need to share this with, because I still need to get this done. It is still something that is burning in my soul. And talking to you about it, and you're going to tell me all the reasons not going to happen, it's not the best thing for me.
Definitely agree there. It's depending who you share it with. And if you share too much, I feel like energies clash, people clash, and it's just, you don't need that right now. So I'm glad you're able to recognize that and be able to find who's going to be in your circle in order to become successful. Now, when you heard that you were becoming the best-selling author on USA Today, what was that feeling like?
It was probably single-handedly the most amazing feeling and overwhelming, and you're just going, oh my God, that actually happened. I worked with a group of amazing authors to do it. And we worked for over a year, believe it or not. This was like huge. It was a lot of work. I think I've never worked this hard in anything else, but it was amazing. And I had that shock expression. Like when somebody says like, hey, it's like somebody telling you won the lotto. You're literally sitting there going, what? Say that again. And like, I'm reading the text because everybody's sending me messages like, it happened. You did it. And I'm like, it did what? What just happened? What? And I'm finding myself trying to run around in circles and going, oh my God, oh my God. And I couldn't even, like, I tried to call my family. Everybody was busy that day, by the way. So if you have a huge announcement and you can't find anybody, it's like, who do I call? Why is nobody picking up the phone? So, yeah, the most incredible day, and nobody got it. I was like, oh. And I'm like, seriously, I think I spent the whole day. She's like, I was dancing. I was jumping. I couldn't stop smiling. I was in complete straight denial of like, this actually just happened. This is huge. You know, I'm giving thanks to the Lord. I'm giving thanks to everybody you can possibly imagine. And I'm still speechless. So I was like, oh my God, especially in this, anything where you put your heart into it. I think to all your listeners, anytime you commit so much time and energy and you work so hard and it's still an opportunity that might not happen, but when it does, you're like, oh wow, it is that feeling of absolute ecstasy. Like, that was amazing.
That is truly amazing. It's like, to have that right beside you, like even myself reading your bio, it's like award-winning USA Today best-selling author. It's just like, oh my gosh, that's so remarkable. And it's true what you say. It's all that hard work that you put into it, the passion that you have into it, it will be rewarded. And this is it. This is the reward. And what is next for you as an author? How many books do you got? Please share and what it's about.
So because I'm a little ADD kid, I have to admit this, I write in multiple genres, which is really, really fun for me, yet a little confusing for some of my readers. I'm like, where are we going? So a lot of my books, you can find a lot of urban fantasy. So I do novels, I do novellas in it, depending how the wind strikes me, it's kind of fun. One of my main series is called The Intern Diaries and takes place in Texarkana. So it takes place in Texas. It's a small town, you get a little bit, it's all based on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So you get a little bit of the magic that gets very intertwined into the real world. So I give you a whole entire world into urban fantasy. And then because I write what I read and I love it. So I have contemporary fiction. I have a series called the Cat Lady, the Cat Lady Special is the first book. So I have a depressed cat lady turns arms dealer that's just going to switch your mind and kind of like how to look at characters from a whole different perspective. I have a series of children's books. I even have devotional. So right now, I'm extremely blessed that my collection of different things you can pick up from is 18 books. So it's pretty amazing.
Wow, that is awesome. I don't know if I've asked you this already, but what keeps you motivated? Like, truly, what keeps you motivated to do all of this?
So the writing is the fun part. Can I say that?
I guess so.
The writing and the creation process to me is so much fun. Mm. And ideas come and go all the time. It doesn't mean I write them all down. Some of my stories, I've been thinking about it for years. So sometimes people are like, you write really fast. I'm like, well, the typing part is really fast. The thinking of the story and sitting down with them and taking my characters on these journeys has taken years. Like some of these characters, I have two books coming out because she asked me what's next. I have two books. They're both within the urban fantasy. I have one, the semi post-apocalyptic, but I have been thinking and working on these books for over, without lying, almost a year and a half, 2 years on each. So the putting it together at the end of the day is kind of fun and fast, but the process of kind of literally sitting here and developing them and kind of hanging out, because at the end of the day, you hear authors telling you, this is my family. Well, literally they are. You know, they're not my characters, because once my readers pick them up, they're yours. You get to do whatever you want. My job is to make sure not to, you know, kill them too much or hurt them too much and take care of your babies. They're still my readers' babies, but this becomes your family. You take these characters on these journeys and you learn a lot about yourself as you do about your characters. You let yourself get lost in these stories and wonder what if. So the process of creation is really fun. Ideas come from anywhere. I'm very much an intuitive being. So a song with sparkle something, just having conversations with people. One of my favorite quotes that I heard lately that I don't know where I'm going to use, but it's going to happen. One of my friends says, that is a waste of a good time. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how that's going in a book, but it's happening. And that's usually kind of the world of an author. You hear things, you see things, and you're going, that would make such an amazing scene. I'm going to use it somewhere.
Ode of writing. Are you turning on the TV? Is there classical music? Do you have to get out and go to the park or in your backyard? Because to me, like when I hear about all of this, I kind of feel like, oh my gosh, like how do you even stay focused? Like, because a lot of authors still have a full-time job and they're doing this part-time. So I'm curious how you do it.
I'm the little strange kid. I need deadlines in my life. Because if you let me, I will go off and play with stories in my head all day long. So to actually put it down, I have to be very strategic with myself. I'm like, okay, this needs to get done on this date. So I do lots of backwards planning. I am unfortunately not the author that writes every day. I would love to be like, I would love to say, okay, from 9 to 6 or 9 to whatever, I'm sitting in front of this computer. It doesn't happen that way for me. I'm more like a binge writer. I'm going to binge nonstop for 2 months and not think anything else and do this thing. And then I might not write for another 2 months. And I have come to be okay with that. It's kind of the fun part about the process is being okay with your creative self without having to force yourself to be something else, if that makes any sense. I'm very much like, this is who you are. This is how I write. And I enjoy it. And I have a blast. And I also let people know, it's like, I'm writing. And they're like, well, we won't see you for a while. So I'll be back later.
That I do. It's like, I need the deadline, but also, for example, I had to create my own website for my own page. And it's, I gave myself, you know what, let me do it on Friday from 7 p.m. all the way till I'm done. And I won't shut it down until I'm done, because that's how my mind processes. And it's like, if I let it drag for another day or two, then I start to get demotivated, which is pretty crazy how that happens. So I understand somewhat what you go through.
Is actually exactly that way. It's kind of getting it out of your soul into the page, into the computer. Because if not, other things happen. You easily get, okay, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And authors, we easily distract it. We will go clean the house before we start writing if you let us. Like, I got time. Just sit down and write. No, we got to go do stuff that you haven't done in 6 months because, hey, that's how we work.
Well, you know, that's so true. It's so true. But oh my gosh, DC, I'm amazed of what you were able to accomplish. But what do you think is the biggest myth in this industry that you want to set out to the listeners?
Honestly, I think the biggest myth for writers is that you have to have a huge following to be successful. Sometimes we get very lost in the idea of social media. You know, we do a lot of things for clicks and likes. We do a lot of things to get out there. And sometimes we forget that our process is to find our tribe and to find our readers and to find people that will connect. So yes, we should always be looking for these people. We should always be connecting to readers. But in order to be successful, it's something to do with who we are and what success means to us. And we get lost in everybody else's definition. So one of the biggest myths is you can be successful with small tribe. You can be successful and be happy of what you do as long as you're able to define it. Sometimes we define it by everybody else's terms that we get lost. I realized I was teaching a class because I'm at a conference this week. And one of the funniest things is, you know, they asked, you know, success. I was like, you know, I have two things in my idea. Either I want to be household name that is huge with movies, or I want to have a cult of 50 people that we can go out and have, you know, fun drinks and talk books. They're like, really? So yeah, so it's one or the other. You know, I've either won the cult or the huge success, you know, traditional, but at the end of the day, it has to be mine. It has to be defined, which what brings joy to my life. Because unlike what common consensus is, you know, they think writers have to be miserable and you're going to be drinking and you're going to be depressed in order to write. That's not me. I have to be fairly happy and cheerful and in a very good mood in order to write because I do a lot of humor and my books are very light. Even the like I write about zombies and destruction and it still comes with that humor. So I have to be in a good place in order for my books to come out. So in order for that to happen, success and definitions in those terms have to be by my own world, not what everybody else defines.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you have the passion in you. Like as I'm speaking to you, and I'm hearing you, you have that passion in you. And this is why you're successful. What advice could you give somebody who's starting to write a book or contemplating on writing one?
The best advice I was told, and might be kind of funny, is be like Nikes. Just do it. Don't censor yourself. Don't try to define yourself. Just be authentic to your characters. Do not hold yourself back. I know a lot of writers who are amazing, but they censor themselves because of what people are going to say, what people are going to think. If the group you're in, if the place you're at cannot handle it, get a pen name, change the name. It doesn't have to be Joe and Jill on the cover. It can be, you know, Mr. Hyde, whatever that might be, but do not censor yourself. Do not let these words that the world needs to hear. Somebody needs you to tell that story so they can connect. But it has to come out and you have to be brave and willing and a little bit selfish because writing is selfish. Nobody can do it for you and you're doing it by yourself and you have to take time from everything else. But in order to bring this to life, you have to believe in yourself enough to say, I'm worth enough to write. I am worth enough to put this on paper and somebody's going to love it. Might not be 100 million people, but somebody needs my words. And just do it, write it, put it on paper, believe that you're meant to do this and be absolutely reckless with your dream and follow it.
I agree. I really do. And I use that motto a lot. Just do it. Just do it. You know, we live in countries that have many opportunities and what does it take? Just do it. Like, you know, sometimes you're not putting in so much into it, like financially, but if you just try it and see how it goes, then you never know, it can become something. So definitely that's really great advice. Is just do it. You want to try it? Just do it.
What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to be a published author. Put your dreams out there. Believe that you're meant to do it. And then do not have to ask 500 people what they think. Know in your heart, this is what you're supposed to do. And just do it.
I love that. I love what you said there. Well, DC, this has been a pleasure. And I really enjoy speaking to you about your journey. Where can the listeners find your books and find you on social media?
The easiest way to get everything and kind of directions for my other sites is my website. And I'm super excited because like you said, websites are usually a work in progress. So I have an amazing Google who's helping me out trying to keep it updated because I'm failing miserably. So anybody can check it out as dcgomez-author.com. You can, it has links to my emails. It has links to my podcast. I interview authors because I obviously love talking books with people. So you can also get my social medias and all of my books. You can get a link to my Patreon account. So it's dcgomez-author.com. Fastest way to find me and go in from any other site that you want.
Awesome. Well, definitely everything is going to be in the show notes. Check out her podcast. That's fantastic. Author and podcaster. Oh my gosh, DC, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I am so honored to be here with you. I absolutely love this conversation. And sweetie, thank you for sharing your own journey with your listeners and giving them that amazing motivation that comes with just being authentic in this era and making sure that you who you are and sharing it for them to be motivated to follow you. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you to you. Thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate it. Well, to all my listeners out there, DC's information is going to be in the show notes for you. Check it out. Follow her podcast. Follow her on social media. Give her all the love and support. And that's all we have for now.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jessica with the Beautiful Feet Podcast.
Hey, it's your boy Bromar, host of The Bromar Show.
Hello, everyone. It's the Coupon Queenpin from the CQP Moments Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy Ken, aka The Gentleman of The Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Hi, this is Stephanie Valente, your local massage therapist.
And you're listening to a little bit of everything with Angelica.
That's it for now, and thank you for tuning in on another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me.